T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At Split Zone Duo, you can check it out. It's college football's one of the greatest podcasts that you'll listen to. Alex Kirshner, he joins on the Fan Morning Show right now. Alex, a very good morning to you. How's everything?
Good morning to you. Great to be back with an old Mount Lebanon friend and talk about, well, you didn't tell me, but I'm guessing college football.
Yeah. Crowley, Mount Lebanon guy. So, yes, we're going to talk about college football. Let me ask you this. Forget 6 months from now or even a year from now. Where's college football in 3 years from now, Alex?
Well, it's existing. It's still existing. You know, the one thing that I like to tell people is that people have predicted the death of college football for a million different reasons for about 100 years now, and those reasons have varied. You know, they've been a lot of different things that have been big and that have been small. It's been everything from big things like television to small things like ticket scalping to things in their own category like Title IX and integration. And I think that a lot of people have thought that realignment would be something that would wreck the sport. Recently, they thought that name, image, and likeness would be something that would wreck the sport. And I don't think that that's going to happen. But if I knew exactly where it would be organizationally, bureaucratically in 3 years, then I would probably have a much more lucrative job than I do.
Let me ask you this, Alex. Late night reports that Oregon and Washington may be applying now, and other Pac-12 schools for Big Ten admission. And the Big Ten will hear those out and come to a decision. If you're not, if you're on the outside looking in of these two mega conferences right now, how aggressive do you think those schools, and locally we have two in Pitt and West Virginia, how aggressive do they have to be in trying to get on the inside of those two mega conferences?
Unfortunately for a school like Pitt and West Virginia, and I don't think this is a doomsday for them, but I don't know that the Big Ten really cares much about, you know, how much juice, how much passion do you put into your application, to your pitch. I do think that Oregon and Washington make probably more sense than anybody else for the Big Ten, because Oregon is a big national brand and Seattle is a big market where Washington is. The other thing that those two schools have going for them, and I believe Pitt does as well, and a number of other schools do, is that they're in the American Association of Universities, or the Association of American Universities. Big Ten likes to put on a press release that it's only adding really good schools. You know, so I think that those schools would be happy, and I don't know who wouldn't, to join the Big Ten, because the Big Ten means a lot of money. I mean, it means, you know, especially compared to the Big 12 or the ACC, probably looking at pretty soon like $50 million more a year per school, which is wild. The thing that I like to caution, though, is that, you know, if you're a school like Pitt, you're a school like West Virginia, and you have a fan base that cares about the sport, and you're able to build a good atmosphere, a good environment for college football, I think you're going to be okay. I really think you're going to be okay. I do worry about, you know, what this means for the long-term ACC. I don't think anything good, but Pitt has played football for more than 100 years. Pitt will be playing football in more than 100 years. And West Virginia has been playing football for, I think, almost as long, and we'll keep playing it for a long time. So I think they're both going to be okay, but it's going to be turbulent for sure.
I don't like how this all, I mean, you got to go way back to when it all started. But when it all started with Oklahoma and Texas, Alex, was this an instance of Oklahoma and Texas poking around in the SEC saying, hey, are you guys interested in us? Or is this facilitated by ESPN saying, hey, here's how you could make more money. They've got now the rights to the SEC. I think that CBS game at 3:30 on Saturdays now becomes the ESPN's property. Was this ESPN brokering really this whole thing, which then causes the dominoes to fall?
I think it's right to look at this in general as a proxy fight between Disney, which owns ESPN, and Fox. It's not a completely clean analogy because ESPN has been involved, may remain involved in some respect with the Big Ten, but certainly Disney has gotten directly behind the SEC, paid several billion dollars to their SEC games for the next very long time, as you said, to take those rights from CBS in some respects. But Fox has been behind the Big Ten for a long time. I mean, Fox is a co-owner in the Big Ten network. Fox has owned the Big Ten's kind of premier game for the last several years that they tend to put on now at noon Eastern time on Fox. And I think that the general understanding for people in the industry, and a lot of this has already been reported out elsewhere, is that Fox is going to be the main primary rights holder in the Big Ten's next round. So, just as I'm sure ESPN loves it that Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the SEC, Fox loves it just as much that these two big Los Angeles brands are coming to be part of the Big Ten's TV inventory, right as Fox is, presumably about to take over an even larger role in showing Big Ten games. It's very corporate, and definitely the two media companies are among the biggest stakeholders anywhere in college football. They are calling a lot of these shots.
Did Fox broker that then with UCLA and USC?
I'm sure that they did. I'm sure that they did. I think that for one thing, it just made sense that Fox would want this. And it's, for another, kind of incomprehensible to me that the Big Ten, which is publicly right now in the middle of negotiations for its next TV deal, would do this without very closely working with its partner.
Where does Notre Dame fold into all of this?
I think Notre Dame's in a great position, which is annoying, of course, for those of us who are sick and tired of Notre Dame getting its way in this sport. But I really do think that Notre Dame's in a great spot. There aren't a lot of schools right now, particularly outside the Big Ten and the SEC, that can say that they have complete control over their own destiny in what college sports look like for the next 10, 20 years. But Notre Dame can say that because Notre Dame has proven that it is big enough to make plenty of money to fill up a perfectly good schedule as an independent program in football. And it also has carte blanche. If Notre Dame decides it wants to join the ACC, which I believe it has a contract saying that it would have to do if it wanted to join a conference, but we'll see what contracts are worth in college sports. I don't think it's very much. Then Notre Dame could do that, and that would probably be the one thing that would, really allay some of the fears about what happens to the ACC in the event that the Big Ten and the SEC keep growing. Or Notre Dame could just go and join the Big Ten, which would probably be the more lucrative path, which also would make a bit more sense geographically, given where they're located. Again, not that geography means a ton, much like contracts don't. So I think Notre Dame probably has the least things to worry about, but maybe the most to consider because it has the most possible options in front of it.
Alex, what do you think a future playoff looks like now? Do we get to 12 or 16 teams, or does this just become an SEC Big Ten endeavor?
That's a great question that maybe is the hardest one to even hazard a guess on. I would think that it takes a bit for anything to expand. There was all of this talk, kind of a false start about a year ago now, in June 2021, that they were looking at a 12-team model and that it had been proposed, and it seemed like it was going to move pretty quickly. It didn't. I don't know that it does anything good for administrator cohesion that the Big Ten just did this to the Pac-12. I don't think this makes it any likelier that George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, and Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, are going to suddenly be all buddy-buddy and sit down to hash out their differences and make a decision on the playoff. And I say hash out their differences. Remember, they'd been a voting bloc, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12. Does that collaboration continue now that the Big Ten has just kind of stabbed the Pac-12 in the neck? Probably not. I think it would be pretty hard for that to continue because you have the understanding that one group has been working to take two of the biggest teams from the other. So until everyone gets along and works together, it's hard to see expansion, at least before the playoffs' current TV deal expires in 2025.
People always talk about, like, the next step, Alex, would be, okay, Clemson and Florida State, if the SEC wants to come calling. What's to stop the SEC from saying, screw that, we're going after Ohio State, we're throwing them the full bag?
Nothing. Nothing's to stop them from trying. I suspect that one thing that the Big Ten is probably going to be pretty serious about when it signs this new TV deal is getting assurances financially from all of its schools that say, you know, you can't leave during this TV deal, or if you do, you're going to pay us a ton of money. So that would be certainly a deterrent, but there's very few rules, and contracts are not worth a whole lot more in college sports if you have enough money to deal with the consequences of breaking them than the paper that they're printed on. So I'm sure that has already crossed some minds at the SEC office. I have no idea if that's what Ohio State wants. Ohio State's another school, kind of like Notre Dame, that has the brand power to chart its own destiny. But that is one chaos scenario, and I decided a long time ago, certainly a year ago, when Texas and Oklahoma left, to stop dismissing things as insane in college football, because the window on what's possible has gotten wider pretty rapidly.
Alex Kirshner, Split Zone Duo Podcast. Check it all out. Alex, we thank you for joining us. We will talk again soon.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.